Matthew chapter 10, the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 29 to 32. The Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 29 to 32.
Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven.
Amen. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. One more scripture. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. And verses 6.
Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the scripture that we read first, the Bible says there, are there not two sparrows sold for one penny? And in the scripture that we read second, it says there, are there not five sparrows sold for two penny? We would think that Jesus does not know mathematics. Two sparrows for one penny. And so, for two pennies you get four sparrows, but there is an odd sparrow that is just added along. And the Bible very clearly says, the scripture was said to reveal the value that God places upon you. Because are you not more valuable than the fifth sparrow? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, fear not. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Tonight, the fifth sparrow, the odd sparrow, the one that is just added along to the pack, that does not carry any value of its own. I do not know, there are times in your life and in my life that we have felt that we are the odd one out. We just don't fit in. You feel as if you have no value. You feel as if you are not important. God wants us to be a bird watcher. He wants us to look at the birds, watch it, and learn. He did not speak about the eagle. The eagle is majestic. When he wanted to speak and teach you on value, he spoke about the sparrow, not even about the peacock. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes a peacock, sometimes certain believers believe, walk like a peacock, very proud, very tall. But you know, if you go to some houses, you will find they use peacock feathers to dust the almara. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, if you're proud like a peacock, most of the time, you will end up like a duster. But if you are like, not even like an eagle, but to understand your value, if you think the lowest animal, the lowest bird in that, in all the birds, the sparrow, it's much similar to a crow. You don't place much value on it. But God says, even a fifth sparrow has got value in my sight. Even if a fifth sparrow falls to the ground, hallelujah, I will take care of it. Tonight, if you believe you are the fifth sparrow, put your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Not a single sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing about it. Amen. There are four sparrows flying around. The fifth one that seems not important seems to have fallen down. But even the one that has fallen, hallelujah, the Father in heaven still values you. You are much more value, hallelujah, than anything else. Hallelujah. If you believe that, say thank you, Jesus, tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, tonight. Amen. Self-depreciation leads to paralysis. The feeling that you are not worth anything. The feeling that you are not important. The feeling that you are the odd one out. The feeling that you have no value. makes you paralytic. It paralyzes you. One of the weapons that the devil uses against believers is to make them feel as if they are not important because they have made one mistake after the other, because they have fallen many a time. That is one of the biggest tricks of the devil. I've had so many believers who are born again, baptized, who have set their lives apart for Jesus, who love Jesus from the bottom of their hearts. After they've made some mistake, after they've fallen down, they get into this rut in their thinking that they are of no value. They've fallen too many times. And they begin to think about them in such a way that finally they're kind of cold. It's as if they are being taken out from the freezer. There is no more fire of the Holy Ghost that is radiant through them. Even though God has not taken off the Holy Spirit, they still feel cold. They feel frigid. They feel, you know, as if they are, only good to be kept in a shelf. They come to church, they just sit there. They think, okay, they just have to get through the meeting because it's a Sunday, it's a Friday. I'm supposed to be here. Let me just be here because I'm supposed to be here. There's no other place that I need to be in. So let me just fill in this time. Let me just hang in there for some time and then get up and go. But tonight, God's Holy Spirit very clearly says, you are of much more value, hallelujah, than anything else, because God has placed a value upon your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even though you might have fallen, God still places value upon you. Never enter into a space in your mind where you are your own worst enemy, your own worst critic, where you are putting yourself down, where you are beating yourself over the head, where you begin to have this thought, you are never good enough. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't fasted enough. You are not holy enough. You are not worshipful enough. You are not worthy. You are not enough. You know, that kind of thinking in your mind will paralyze you. But tonight God is wanting to stir you up. God is wanting to fill you afresh. God is wanting to warm your heart. He's telling you, you are much more important than any other sparrow that he knows. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Therefore, fear not. Praise the Lord. There are many believers who have this thought that God is angry with me. God took out his anger that was supposed to be upon you on his son Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. He's not angry with you. He knows you're frail. He knows you're frail. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I go to believers' houses and they have these photos on the fridge of their loved ones. Well, if there is a fridge in heaven, God has got your photo on it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's only thinking good things about you. Amen. If there is a photo and a fridge in heaven, it's got your picture. Tonight I pray the Holy Ghost shows it to you. I pray the Holy Spirit witnesses to your spirit. This message is to set people free who are condemned in their own hearts. They stand self-condemned. God wants to set you free. You don't need to accuse yourself. You have an enemy, the accuser. Accusation does not come from the Holy Ghost. The nagging thought, the questions that keep penetrating into your mind, that is if you are not spiritual enough, you don't read the Bible enough, you don't pray enough, does not come from the Holy Ghost. It comes from your own self. And tonight, the power of the enemy has to be broken, and you have to know your value that God places upon you. Hallelujah. Amen. When you feel it's you're the old one out, there are many believers who come and say, Pastor, I don't think anybody needs me. I don't fit in. I don't know why I'm here. I just don't know. Can you imagine that? They've heard the gospel. If you have heard nothing else, if you have heard the gospel, it means God treasures you. If he's revealed his son, Jesus, as a sacrifice on the cross, it means God treasures you. Moreover, if you're born again, and if he's baptized you in the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues, it is a sign that God treasures you. Oh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is this negative mindset that brings it, I'm not significant enough. I'm insignificant. When you look into the scriptures, God always chose the fifth sparrow. You look at the Old Testament, David. The man of God, the prophet, comes to the house of Jesse. All the brothers are there. The fifth sparrow, the one that is not needed, that just came with the pack. David is out there in the wilderness looking after the sheep. Praise the Lord. But to the very David who is out there looking after the sheep, God's prophet says, there is someone here whom I have to anoint. It is not this good-looking guy standing here, but there is somebody whom you have rejected, who is the odd one out in your family, who is the crazy guy, who is in the wilderness. Hallelujah. He is on the grass. Hallelujah. He's out there somewhere. He's the one that I need. He's the one that I've called. He's the one that I want to anoint. He's the one who is going to bring in my glory into my kingdom. Hallelujah. Sometimes you look at people, they don't place value on themselves. Just because their parents might not have placed value on them. Has your parents placed value on you? Have they prophesied over your life saying, you're special? You are our favorite son. You are our dear daughter. We love you. We want you to do good. Parents, you need to say that to your children. Sometimes we are so busy always pointing out their mistakes, telling them what's wrong with them, trying to help them by correction, that we forget to tell them how much they are needed, how much they are important, how much we value them. When you study scriptures, you will find that in the scripture, it says in Proverbs 31 and verse 28, the wife, she is praised by her husband. You know, women look for that kind of compliment. They want to be complimented. They want to know they are valued. I've seen it is women most of the time who have got a poorer self-image. And that is why sometimes they get very nasty, very bitter, very terribly hard to get along with. But the man praises the wife. When you study the Song of Songs, Solomon's love letter, when you study the Song of Songs, over 40 times Solomon is praising his wife. 40 times. He's praising his wife. He's praising her on her looks. He says, you know, even though there is Aishwarya Rai and Priyanka Chopra and all these Hollywood actors, still, my dear, you excel them all. He's valuing her. He's saying it. Even though there is the KFC and good eating places outside, oh my God, this chamandi and moridari, wow, that you make. This burnt papadam, my darling, that is so beautiful. You need to value her. Are you with me? value your children. You need to value your spouse. You need to speak it out. Words are the vehicle that carry the blessing. If I've got all the messages that I need from God in my heart, and if I keep it to myself without opening my mouth and declaring it over, the vehicle does not come to you. It's not transported. The blessing comes through the transportation of the word that I speak over you. The same way when a pastor blesses a congregation, the woman, Solomon is praising her on her wisdom, on her beauty. I said sometime back, you know, I said, never question your wife's judgment. After all, she married you. David was the odd one out. His father and mother, that's why David said, you know, even if a father or mother forsake me, yet my God will take her for me. Praise God. He knew what rejection was. He knew what it was to be undervalued at home. But God said, even though nobody else places value upon you, you are my favorite sparrow. You are my fifth sparrow. You are the one that I treasure. Hallelujah. You are the one that I want. You are the one that I'm going to anoint and use for my glory. Hallelujah. Psalm 102 verse 7. It says there about a sparrow that is sitting alone on the rooftop. This sparrow is sitting alone on the rooftop. A sparrow left alone by itself. We don't know if the mate died, if that sparrow's mate died. We don't know. The sparrow is alone. We don't know whether that sparrow went through a divorce. We don't know whether the sparrow was rejected. But this sparrow sitting alone, no matter why, the reason is, God says, I still got my eyes on that one that is sitting alone. Praise the Lord. There are so many believers, people who feel they are of no value, who would rather sit alone at home, who would sit alone in some corner because they feel they've fallen, they've failed God, they've failed life, they've failed others, that they're all alone. But tonight, if you are the fifth sparrow, I've got good news for you tonight. And I pray the Holy Ghost floods that into your heart. Hallelujah. He values you. My Father in heaven values you. Jesus values you. He shed his blood for you. You are not alone. Hallelujah. He's told you, even if a father or mother should forsake you, I will never forsake you, for I have carved you on the palm of my hand. You are not alone. Leadership is lonely. There are many leaders who are lonely. Every time I feel alone, I feel lonely. I said, Lord, I might be the fifth sparrow, but you are there with me, and I begin to worship him. Hallelujah. Even though I'm sitting, hallelujah, on the rooftop, even though I'm sitting in some corner, I will still worship you because you belong to me. I belong to you. You paid the price for my soul. Hallelujah. You have promised me you will never leave me nor forsake me. Praise the name of Jesus tonight. Praise the name of Jesus tonight. Praise the name of Jesus tonight. Amen. You know, after resurrection, Jesus could have gone to Athens. Jesus could have gone to Jerusalem. He could have gone to one of those crowded cities of Nazareth. But he didn't. He went to where a woman was standing alone. A lonely sparrow. Jesus went to her. He went to those two disciples who were afraid and walking on the way to Emmaus. He walked to them. He walked with them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus went to that sparrow that was feeling lonely or alone. He didn't go to the crowd. He didn't go to that biggest temple there or biggest gathering there and says, hey, here I am, here I am. No, he looked at that one that was hurting, that one that was alone, that felt left out, that was scared, that was timid. Hallelujah. He went to that little sparrow. Praise the Lord. Guess where else he went? He went to that place where Peter was fishing. Hallelujah. The guy who had rejected him, denied him, left him, failed him, hallelujah, and ran away. He went after that Peter and called him back and gave him the greatest command. I will make you fishers of men, Peter. You are alone. You are lonely. You rejected me. You went away, but I still value you. You have fallen many a time, but I still value you. I still value you. I still value you. You are important to me. I am giving you the commission. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep and look after them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more scripture. Psalms 84 verse 3.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Look at that. Even a sparrow has made a nest in the altar of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Odd sparrow, you know what you should do? You should come to the altar of God. You should come to the cross of Calvary where you understand your value. Alone and hurting, broken, hallelujah. Come to the cross of Calvary. Come to the foot of the cross. Come to the place where Jesus shed his blood. Come to the church, hallelujah, where his saints meet together. Come to the place where the anointing of God moves. Come to that place and make your nest there. Get comfortable there. You gotta learn, if you are the fifth sparrow, to come to the church and be comfortable there. Don't wait for somebody to make you feel special. Nobody sitting next to you might do that. Not even the pastor might do that. Hallelujah. But if you're hearing this message and you're the fifth sparrow, you feel like the odd one out. Learn to come to the altar of God and make yourself comfortable. Make a nest and rest there. Hallelujah. Make a nest and rest there. Come on, now open your mouth and say, make a nest and rest there. Hallelujah. Make a nest and rest there. Hallelujah. When you are alone, when you have faced pressure in your life, when you have been rejected, when you have fallen many a time, when you feel weak in yourself, you know what you should do? Come to the altar of God. Why? Because you can't hide from God, but you can hide in God. Why do you need to come? Because you can't hide from God. The further you stay away in some room or in some deserted island somewhere, wishing things would change, wishing you were not so weak, wishing you were a better person, wishing that, you know, somebody would help you, more and more miserable you get. But come to the altar. Come to the place where God's called you and placed you. Make your nest there. Hallelujah. Get comfortable in the presence of God. Hide in Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and say, hide in. Why? What happens when you fall? The sparrow that fell. What happens when you fall? There is a saying, if you take failure personally, you will also take success personally. Which is terrible, bad. I repeat again, if you take failure personally, you will also take success personally. You can be the hardest person to get along with because you got a halo over your head. So come to the altar. It says there, it is in that scripture context that the Lord said, one, fear not. Two, he said, if you will confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, the Heavenly Father will also acknowledge you before the angels of God. Amen. Praise God. If you will proclaim Jesus Christ as your master, he will indeed be your master. I heard a preacher say, the word mascot and master, mascot. Now, we don't find that here in India much. But out there in different states, you know, they got a mascot for certain basketball teams or football teams. It might be, you know, one of the football teams, I think, is the bulldog. The mascot for that football team is a bulldog. So what they will do is, when their match is going on and when they're playing a fierce match, this mascot is supposed to motivate them. So what they will do is, in the half time, they will let the mascot out of the cage and take the mascot through the park for a walk. And people will be cheering, yes, that is our mascot, yay, yay. Now Jesus is not a mascot. He's a master. It is not once a week while in half time, interval time, you know, you take Jesus out of the cage. You say, thank you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, and you cheer and cheer and cheer, and then you go back home. No, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, every day of the week, every hour of the day, every second of that hour, you are saying, Jesus Christ is my master. He is not a mascot. He is my master. Jesus is my master. Jesus is my master. He is my Lord. I submit to Him. It is at His presence that I submit my life. Are you not of much more value than the fifth sparrow? Praise God. Tonight. Hallelujah. Never depreciate yourself. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Now can I just, amidst the preaching, can I just talk to you on a practical side to it? Are you with me still? Amen. You know, when you study the scriptures in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So there are three loves. One, the love for the Lord. Another, the love for the people. But both the things hang on one thing, the love that you have for yourself. Now, I don't mean in an egoistic way where you are so self-centered that you're thinking about yourself and worshiping yourself. No. What I'm saying is a healthy respect that you feel good about yourself. So you can love the Lord more and you can love the neighbor. So simple homework that I give you to do. When you go back home, I want you to write 10 lines about yourself. Many of your struggles are not with God or even with the devil or with somebody else. There is a civil war going on. You're fighting yourself. Pakistan is not attacking you. China is not attacking you. You are fighting yourself. You are angry and upset with yourself. There's a civil war going on. There is an accelerated attack somewhere inside. You are bombing your own future. So ask yourself this, you know, to help you. First thing that you need to do is write your name. My name is Superman. That's a joke. You write your name. My name is. When you write your name, when you're with Jesus alone, write your name. And for a second, see what you feel about yourself. When you say your name out, do you cringe? Do you shudder? Do you say, blah, blah, blah. I don't like that guy. I mean, what happens to you? My name is. Write your name. And see what you feel. If you are not feeling good about yourself, then you have not understood your value as the fifth sparrow that God has placed upon you. Then write your age. I am. If I am writing, I will say, I am 25 years old. Then I feel good. Wow, pastor is so young. Pastor is only 25 years old. But write your age. And if you're still breathing, sometimes people get so upset, you know, they get so worked up. I am. Oh my God, looks like my life is gone, my future is gone, everything is gone. Gosh, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 40. What's wrong? Everybody wants to live long, but nobody wants to get old. Everybody wants to live long. Nobody wants to get old. But write your age. And see what you feel about Joseph. Then write in one word. My past has been. And sometimes you might cry. Sometimes you might feel terribly angry. Sometimes you might feel, oh, I don't want to speak about it. I don't want anybody to dig about it. I don't want anybody to dig my past. Nobody has to. Are you with me? But you have to understand there is nothing you can do about your past. There is absolutely nothing that you can do about yesterday. But you got a future. Yesterday has to be under the blood. And you have to accept yourself. No matter how terrible the past has been. No matter how bad the past has been. No matter how horrible you have been. You have to accept yourself. You can do nothing about your past. But there is something that you can do about your future. You can do something about your life forward. And you need to accept your past and say, I have to apply the blood of Jesus. And I have to go on. God has accepted me. I need to accept myself and worship Him and look to His plan and go on. The fourth thing that you write. My body is like. Sometimes you might have a problem with your body. You know, you write about your body and you think, okay, I wish I had put on 20 more kilos or lost 20 kilos. Or, you know, Jesus said, you know, in the scripture that you read, Jesus said, listen, you are much more important than valuable than the sparrow. Even the hairs of your head have been numbered. It's not the number of hairs that fall away when you comb your hair. But your hairs have been numbered, in which means every hair has got a number. When you comb your hair, if three hairs fall apart, the Lord will say that it's the 77th, 176th, and 1020th hair that fell down. Every hair has been numbered. Some of you have lost your hair from 1000 to 1005. Don't worry, just say, Lord, I accept that. Thank you. Praise God. Are you with me? But you got to accept it. It might be about your physical self. It might be about your skin color. It might be about your, you know, there are people who would go for a plastic surgery. They want to change their nose. Their nose is too ugly. They go to a plastic surgeon. They get their nose done. It looks nice. But you know what? I've spoken with people like that. They still feel ugly inside. So you got to accept your body. St. Paul. The average man in America, and most of the places, would be about 5 feet 8 inches. St. Paul was only 4 feet 6 inches. He had an eye problem. He was not the conventional good looker. And the Bible says he had a squeaky voice, the voice like Tendulkar. I come to you, man, with much trembling and fear. I have been to you, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If Tendulkar is listening to the message, I'm so sorry. You got a fantastic voice. God will anoint your voice like. Praise the Lord. See, Paul could shake nations. He could do great exploits for the kingdom of God. Demons would tremble at his voice. But it was not the conventional good-looking guy that he was, or good voice that he had. Four times in the scripture, in the New Testament, Paul writes these words. That is your homework. I am not inferior to anyone. Four times. Four times in the New Testament he writes these words. I was not inferior to anyone. People with a terrible inferiority complex, they will always compare themselves with somebody else. And they will depreciate themselves. I'm not that good looking. I'm not that rich. I'm not that wealthy. I'm not that... And you're making your own life miserable. In your heart, say these words and say it with your lips. Accept yourself. Open your mouth and say, accept. Accept yourself. That's the beginning. Physically, mentally, emotionally. Some people are really living in perpetual regret. They're saying, you know, if I had studied more, if I was more intelligent, if I was... You know what? They say it for 60, 70, 80, 90 years. If I was born in a different family, if I had a different childhood, if that person had not abused me, if this person had not done this to me, they always... You know, they have not found the value as the fifth sparrow. Just the way that you are sitting in this place, God accepts you. He loves you. He has placed a value upon you. He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can come to the altar of God. He understands you. He knows your frame. He knows the way that you think. He knows what your past has been like. He knows what your present is like. He knows what your future is going to be. And He's got good thoughts about your future. But you need to write and see what you feel about your future. Some people say, Pastor, I don't think I have any future. Ellam thirunu. And so even if a man of God should come and prophesy over you, or somebody to test you should tell you, hey, listen, no, God is not finished with you. You won't listen. You know why? Because you can't accept yourself. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me tonight? How many of you are finding this helpful tonight? Hallelujah. You gotta know your value. You gotta find that place in your own life where you know that you've accepted yourself the way God has accepted you. Some people say, wish this hadn't happened, that hadn't happened. Too bad it happened. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Hallelujah. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Reveal to me. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and say it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Praise God. He's the God who transforms you. He's the one who changes you. Hallelujah. He's not finished with you. He's got a plan about your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me ask you one thing. How many of you know that the Bible said hating somebody is a sin? How many of you know that? You can't hate anybody. You got to forgive. Yes? Are you with me? You know that? You sure? That the Bible says about that, doesn't it? So much more. Understand this. Hating yourself is also a sin. What you're saying is, God, you made a mistake. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is why it is important you should never feel hatred for yourself. There are many people who have given up on life, who have given up on marriage, who have given up on, serving the Lord, all that, because they got a poor self-worth. Not because of the devil. Look at your conversation, right? When you write, look at your conversation. What was my conversation like? What you sent out will come back to you. Say that again. What you send out will come back to you. There is a place called in Kerala, when you go up to Moonar. How many of you have been to Moonar? From Moonar, you go to a place called Mattupetty. How many of you have gone to Mattupetty? On the way to Mattupetty, there is a point called Echo Point. Anybody been to Echo Point? If you stand at Echo Point and say, "Fool!" somebody will call out from there saying, "Fool!" If you go to Echo Point, stand there and say, "Idiot!" the other guy will also call out and tell you, "Idiot!" You stand there and say, "Stupid!" somebody else calls from there and says, "Very stupid." No, joking. Somebody calls, "Stupid." See, what you're sending out is coming back to you. People with poor self-worth will always send out through their own words, "I don't feel good factor, I don't feel good about myself," to others. And guess what? They get that back. But stand at Echo Point and say, "I am redeemed." And from there it will come all back. "I am redeemed. I'm a child of God." From there it will call back. "I'm a child of God. I'm a saint of God." It will call back. "I'm a saint of God." Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand there and say, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." From there it will call back, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You stand there and say, "I am weak." From there again it will whisper and say, "I am weak." That is why the Bible says, let the weak say, "I am strong." Hallelujah. "I am strong." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the book of Numbers 13 and verse 33. The children of Israel, when they went into the promised land to spy on that land, you know what 10 of them said? 10 of them said, "We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and thus we were in their sight also." Are you with me? Numbers 13:33. "We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were like grasshoppers in their own sight also." Praise the Lord. See, they echoed their poor self-image. "We are like grasshoppers. We don't have strength. We can only jump around. We can't fly. We can't eat grapes. We can only be on the grass." Tonight, go back home, write a letter to Jesus, and see what you feel about yourself. And there is nothing wrong in you accepting yourself. Are you with me? And saying, "Jesus, I am the fifth sparrow. Terrible things have happened in my life. Things I don't have a clue. Physically, mentally, emotionally, relationship-wise, past, present, future. But I give my life into your hands, Jesus. You are my master. You have placed a value upon me. Help me to value yourself so that I can value you and value others." Amen. Let's close our eyes and pray tonight.